Hello and welcome to Soilmates, the podcast for plant lovers by plant lovers. I'm your host Khadija, recording from my urban jungle in Lisbon, Portugal. Each week I'll be talking to a plant enthusiast. He will be sharing his story with his soilmate from the crush and the sweet honeymoon times all the way down to the rocky road with all its ups and downs and finally to the everlasting love. This is episode 1 and let's say hi to our guest and find out where she's from and what's the name of her soilmate.
Hello, hello. My name is Vanessa and I live in Toronto, Canada. My soulmate is the Shramanthi Trio Star and we've been together for over 2 years now.
So Vanessa has this beautiful Instagram account about her plants. I think I have been following her for over a year now and we've been exchanging tips and tricks here and there. And I must say that I'm very excited to have her. For those of you who don't know her, Vanessa's jungle has more than 150 plants.
What?
Yep.
And among them, there is this big, beautiful Stromanthi Trio Star. And that is a gorgeous and colorful plant to kick off this series of interviews. But before getting to the Stromanthi, I asked Vanessa how it all started and what sparked her love for plants in the first place.
My mom always had plants around the house when I was growing up. And some of the plants we actually have are older than 30 years old. I did buy a few succulents during my university years, but it really wasn't until I purchased my Monstera back in 2016 that my collection really took off. And I'm glad I got onto the plant train very early on, because in 2018 I was able to buy a Thai Constellation Monstera for $40.
Wait, what?
$40. Anyways. At the time, I really appreciated the aesthetics of the plants, but these days it's a combination of appreciating the aesthetics of the plant and learning more about their story. So things about where they came from geographically and how they look in their natural environment, their optimal care conditions, and how they were created if they were hybrids. For me, that just brings a new layer of appreciation to these plants.
Okay, guys, we're dealing with a real plant nerd here. I love it. And for this super plant mom, an amazing, lush indoor jungle is, of course, not enough. So Vanessa also does outdoor gardening in the summer.
Oh my god, don't even get me started on outdoor gardening. For the longest time, I considered myself an indoor gardener, and with good reason. I mean, there are bugs outside, wasps, earwigs. I'm still on the fence about slugs. They're kind of cute, kind of ugly, but last year, I decided to grow some herbs outdoors just to test it out, and I really had a lot of fun with that, using herbs, fresh herbs to cook with. So I decided to begin this year, except I fell off the deep end and bought way too many seeds, growing way too many plants outdoors. So I've got maybe 20 tomato plants going on right now. I've also planted a few flower mixes to attract beneficial insects, so it's been quite a lot of joy seeing bees come and ladybugs. And of course, it's always great to use those fresh herbs to cook with. My mom and I are quite the avid gardeners. She's got her own plants in the garden. I've got my own plants in the garden. So I think that's also brought us kind of closer.
That's sweet. Mom and daughter gardening together. And then, in addition to those outdoor plants, Vanessa also told me that she takes some of her indoor plants outside in the summer. And that has a huge impact on their growth.
I've actually also moved my aeroids outdoors. I built a tent for them with some shade cloths. And they're currently living their best lives outside in Toronto. And for the most part, they've responded pretty well. Some of the leaves they've gotten are quite large, by my standards anyways. And I am noticing that some plants are growing faster than they had been when they were living indoors. So that's been quite nice. But the trade-off is bugs outside. It has been unusually damp in Toronto for the past few months. So there are a lot of earwigs. And they're not fun. They've turned my plants into salads. My varicosa, salad. My anthurium leaves, salad. So while I am getting large leaves, the trade-off is that they aren't perfect. They do have some leaves, some holes in the leaves, and yeah, I guess that's the trade-off. But it's been so much fun watering them outside. I can just spray them with a hose and blast off any bugs with the hose. And it just shows you that these plants are more resilient than we think.
You betcha. And outdoor gardening is so much fun. Right, so let's get back to the crush with the Stromanthe. So then I asked Vanessa to tell me more about the plant and the day she saw it for the first time and decided to bring it home.
So for those of you who don't know what the Stromanthe trio star looks like, it is this stunning, gorgeous, vivid pink plant that belongs in the prayer plant family. The undersides of the leaves are this beautiful hot pink, and the top side of leaves have this variegation that is pink, white, and yellow, and it's just a striking plant in general. I remember seeing it at the nursery, I think back in early 2019, and thinking it had to come home with me. And for only $20, it was a bargain. I think at the time it was the first quote-unquote prayer plant I'd ever brought home with me. Glory to your name. And having done no research on the plant prior to buying it, of course, that was a setup for failure. Game
over! Okay, fun fact. Prayer plants got their nickname not because they're so finicky they end up making us pray for them to stay alive under our care, but rather because they close up their leaves at night like hands in prayer and then they open them up again in the morning. And this daily movement is known as nyctinasty, and it's absolutely fascinating to watch. There are many time-lapse videos out there and you should definitely check them out. So prayer plants include Marantas, Calatheas, Stromanthes, and Tenanthes. They're native to tropical Central and South America and the West Indies. And they're actually very popular as houseplants because they usually have these striking colors and beautiful patterns. And the undersides of their leaves are usually darker and often they're purple. So let's get back to her story and hear about how the Stromanthe adapted to her home.
In my early days of plant parenthood, I had a tendency to bring home a lot of plants without doing a lot of research on them, the Stromanthe being one of them. And I thought that this beautiful, gorgeous plant deserved the best spot in the house, which was right by my southwest facing windows. A very sunny spot, you know, I thought would be perfect for this plant. Obviously not, because it got crispy real fast.
Bringing lots of plants home? I think we've all been there. The wish list keeps getting longer, nurseries keep restocking, and there's always that must-have trendy plant that we end up taking home without even thinking beforehand about where we're gonna put it or whether we will be able to provide good conditions for it to thrive or at least to survive. So first we get the plant and then we spend sleepless nights googling to find the answers to why that leaf turned yellow or why that stem turned brown. And oh gosh, crispy leaves on prayer plants are just a nightmare. Because of course we want our plants to look perfect all the time, right? Let's hear about how Vanessa dealt with the crispy leaves.
So very early on, I ran into the issue of crispy leaves. Of course, with the plant being in such a sunny spot in the house, it grew a lot of new leaves. But at the same time, the older leaves I found were getting very crispy really fast. So of course, being the concerned plant parent I was, and not having a plant Instagram, I decided to go on the internet and look for advice on what people recommend, and one of them was to get a humidifier. So of course I did, because I want to keep my plant happy, and almost immediately I had to stop using it, because my dad complained about the level of humidity and concerns about growing black mold, so that was a killjoy. I also looked into other advice, such as using distilled water and using pebble trays, but realistically, I was like, those are some weird options.
Personally, I've done the humidifier thing too. And then I got tired of constantly having to refill the humidifier and clean it. Those things get pretty filthy and can quickly become a cozy nest for bacteria and fungus. I also used to freak out before leaving for vacations because, you know, there's that existential question of who's gonna refill the humidifier tomorrow? And then this summer I gave up and I decided that I would switch off the humidifier forever and only keep plants that can adapt to my home's environment rather than the other way around. But getting back to prayer plants, having low humidity at home does actually foster the development of some pests, like spider mites.
Ugh.
I've been quite lucky to not really have any pests with my trio star. Not really any spider mites or thrips, but I know fungus gnats do tend to happen with damp soil. And yes, I do keep my soil damp, watering when the soil looks or feels about 80% dry. I've never really had any major fungus gnat issues, but this year I did start using sticky traps because the aeroids were causing a lot of gnats. I know there's a whole bunch of solutions that other people use, such as diatomaceous earth and mosquito dunks, and just letting the soil dry out a bit more. But yeah, I've been pretty lucky in the past. But funny enough, I'm actually currently dealing with a small mealybug problem, which I don't even know. I've dealt with thrips, and somehow mealybugs are worse. I feel like I've been dealing with mealybugs with my plants for like how many years now, but thrips, one cycle, gone. And they recently found their way to my Stromanthes, so that's a fun new project to take on. And so with the mealybugs, I've just been spraying the leaves with a mixture of soap and water, and isolating the plant and just checking on it every few days to make sure the mealybugs are gone. They still aren't, but I'm still holding out hope.
Mealybugs are so gross.
Ew!
Personally, when I find pests or fungus or any problem on a plant, the very first thing I do is just grab my scissors and chop chop. I try to save a couple of healthy cuttings that I would propagate. And sometimes that's successful, sometimes it's not. The only time I tried to propagate a prayer plant, it was a Tenanthe lubertiana, and it was a complete failure. I watched this video where they said you could propagate them in water, so I took a bunch of cuttings right under the nodes, everything by the book. I put them all in water and then I waited and waited and waited for like a couple of weeks, and no roots whatsoever. All the leaves got crispy, I got desperate, and I ended up tossing all the cuttings out.
System failure.
Maybe I didn't wait long enough, maybe I should have sticked them in soil, we will never know. So I asked Vanessa about her propagation experiences with her Stromanthe.
To propagate my Stromanthe, I usually divide it by the roots and place the propagations in soil. I don't know of any other ways to propagate the plant, but I know for other prayer plants, for example, the Maranta, you can cut it at the node and it will root that way, but not for the Stromanthe and most Calatheas, I find. I haven't tried rooting Stromanthe propagations in, for example, Leca or Lechuza, but I usually go with soil, and that usually works well.
Successful propagations! Yay! Okay, I will never ever try to propagate a prayer plant in water in the future, I promise. That's definitely my takeaway. Now let's hear Vanessa's takeaways of this whole learning process with her soil mate.
So over the years, I've been able to test and find some tips that really work well for me and my Stromanthe. I've even bought the plant a few times to give away as gifts, which really shows how much I love this plant and want to share it with the world. Some tips that I find that are really helpful for me is to keep the soil consistently damp. I don't bother with distilled water because that's expensive, but I find that keeping the soil consistently damp helps reduce the crispiness in the leaves. My Stromanthe is now further away from the window. It still receives some hours of direct sun, but definitely not as much as it used to. But I definitely do recommend that the plant gets some hours of direct sun a day. I've also found that it's very important to keep a healthy mindset with plants. I know Calatheas and other prayer plants can be frustrating because of the crispy leaves, and while this can be discouraging, I find it's much better to focus on the plant's growth instead of the crispy leaves. And while it might not be the most aesthetically pleasing, I find that if the plant's still growing, it's, you know, happy and thriving, and that's all that really matters. And while some of my Calatheas have crispy edges, I've just learned that the best way to deal with that is just to snip the leaves, or at least the crispy parts anyways, because really, who's gonna notice except you? And I do find that the Stromanthi is a bit more forgiving than Calatheas and Marantas. So if you're looking for a great prayer plant to start off with, I definitely recommend the Stromanthi Triostar. I had to give it a rating from 1 to 10 on how hard it is to care for. I would say it's about a 6, 7. But it's definitely worth it for this beautiful, flamboyant plant.
A 6, 7 rating is actually pretty good. So Stromanthes in a nutshell, what we learned today is, on the one hand, keeping the soil damp will help prevent crispy leaves. And on the other hand, placing the plant away from windows will help too. But just make sure you give it some light. And most importantly, and that's something we really need to get better at, and I'm talking to myself here, first and foremost, we need to keep a healthy mindset with our plants. Thank you, Vanessa, for the reminder. Plant care should be a relaxing hobby rather than an additional source of stress in our busy lives. And that's a note to self that we should definitely stick in post-its around our plants. Thanks, Vanessa, and thank you guys for listening to episode 1 of the Soilmates podcast. Subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Google Podcasts. And if you want to play along and be interviewed, get in touch by sending me a direct message on Instagram @_soilmates_. See you at the next episode. Bye!